Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
God is moving by His Spirit.
Yes, He is.
And I thank the Lord for that. Let's begin with prayer, our communion class. Dear Lord, I thank You for being in our midst. I thank You for all that You're going to do today. I thank You for all the words that have come to pass this week, all the things that You are doing. We thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, last week looked like we left off at verse 26 in St. John chapter 16. And the things that Jesus is telling His disciples, the same pattern applies to us. He told them things that they could receive and things that they would need. And there will be times He'll do the same thing for us. And at that point, we have to receive that information in order so that we can make the right adjustments and change and transition into the perfect will of God. And that's what they were doing. The work that Jesus came to do, the work of salvation, was still a mystery to them. They were foggy on it. They didn't know all the details.
Amen.
And verse 26 says, "At that day, ye shall ask. At that day ye shall ask in My name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself." "At that day ye shall ask in My name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved Me and have believed that I came out from God."
Tell us the chapter again in verse.
Yep. That's St. John 16, verse 26 and 27. And they were not used to that. They were used to going to Jesus, and Jesus would go to the Father.
And
then the Father would hear His prayers and bless them. And so it was with the priest. They would take their concerns to the priest, just like Samuel's mother. She went to the priest, and she was praying, and Eli saw her praying, thought she was drunk, and she said she was praying for a son, and he prayed with her, and she got Samuel. This was what they were used to. They weren't used to going straight to the Father.
Let me ask you, what do you think was easier for them to ask somebody they could see, or pray to somebody that was invisible, that they couldn't see, that they have never seen?
Yeah,
It would have been easier
to ask somebody you had confidence in, and they had strong confidence in Jesus. Yeah, and they could see Him. They were used to Him winning. They knew He could win. They asked Him to do something about the weather when the ship was out at sea, and He woke them up. They woke Him up, and Jesus said He acted like He wanted them to rebuke the wind.
He did.
And He did.
He did.
And
but they had seen so much at this point.
Yeah. So they won't.
Even if they had just tried,
mm-hmm.
I think He would have been even happy with that.
Yeah, their first response was to ask Jesus to do it. Mm-hmm. And but now Jesus is telling them something new. And this happens along the course of your life. The Lord will always bring you to something that's needful that you yourself can do. You know, I remember different phases in my life. As a Christian, I learned about the Holy Spirit, so I wanted to know more about the Holy Spirit. I learned, you know, after that, it was, for me, it was love. I asked the Lord to help me love people. Then I learned about authority, and I had to use that authority, and it works. Everything of God is going to work. You don't have to be, just because you may not have experience, that doesn't mean that's irrelevant. If you can receive what His word and measure it big, it'll work in your life big. And the Lord knows this. So He said, "For the Father Himself loveth you." That clears that problem up, whether the Father will or will not hear them.
He loves you.
He loves you.
Uh-huh. Because you focus on the love, wouldn't you?
Right.
So when you know somebody loves you, you ask them for anything. You know, you wouldn't have no problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. "Because ye have loved Me and have believed that I am came out from God." The Father can work in your life. You, Jesus bridged the gap. He's the daysman. And when love, it's all about love. This is a communion class, relationship. Mm-hmm. On the radio, the Lord had me saying, a lot of times people plan to do some great work, and preachers that's just getting started and want their churches to grow and do and prosper, like the ones they see on TV. They'll fly all the way to wherever they are and ask them what did they do. Yeah. What system did you use to grow the church and it's working and it's prospering? And they don't know. They say, chase God. So the Lord had me saying on the radio, don't worry about plans and schemes and strategies. Just fall in love with the Lord and enjoy Him. If you can fall in love with the Lord and enjoy His presence, He's going to tell you, He's going to do something for His people. He loves them. And He'll give you the messages that will get them out of, from where they are to where they want to be. He will guide you how to help them. But you can't do it if you're worried, frustrated, and in fear, especially pride. Pride ain't going to never work. That don't never work right. In fact, on one broadcast, he had me saying, pride is they're the first ones in hell and the last ones in hell. People that get in pride. But when you, if you can just fall in love with the Lord, enjoy His presence, and dialogue with Him, then He'll give you He'll show you how to put that puzzle together. He'll guide you into what's supposed to happen.
Amen.
And then you have to receive it and believe it, and you can go forward. It's easy that way. He'll position you according to your anointing. You can only do successfully what you're anointed to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do a lot by our faith, but nothing trumps the anointing. When you operate within the parameters of the anointing that God has given, you'll do a work with sweatless effort. It'll surprise you the success rate you'll have because you operate in that anointing. With the anointing, you have God's ability. By faith, you have what you can believe God for. What you can believe God for is not limited, and that's true. But you won't have the wisdom. With the anointing, when you operate under the anointing, the wisdom is with you. The counsel of God is in it. You know, the determination is in it. Doors open that can't open no other way in the anointing. And you can't just do the anointing alone. The just shall live by his faith. So if you're in the realm of the anointing and you fall in love with the Lord, he'll show you how to use it, where to use it, when to use it, how to go forward. Then as he reveals what he wants you to know, you just believe him by your faith.
I like what you said. How to use faith. You have to believe that you're anointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus believed. He spoke it. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm anointed to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He has anointed me.
And watch this. Whenever God gives you something to do, it's already in the parameter of your anointing. You're already anointed to do it. When He say do it, you're anointed.
Yeah, but if you don't confess that and believe that, you'll be like, oh, Lord, can I do this? I mean, you know, you'll be operating in a different realm. But if you would agree with the anointing and say, I'm anointed, Holy Spirit has anointed me for this, you know?
Yeah. And it's
let me say this, because you pointed out something I think is kind of key, is that you kept saying the anointing, and then you defined what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said, well, the Lord appoints you to do something. Mm-hmm. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Then you are anointed.
Uh-huh.
when you are set apart for a purpose of the Lord, that is the anointing.
Uh-huh.
Not some mysterious woo-woo stuff, you know, that comes upon you and you can't do anything with no shake and you know, all this sort of thing. It is basically just doing what God told you to do.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple. Yeah. Just what He said.
Easy. That's what Summerall said, with God everything is simple. When it gets complicated, you got into another path. So, you know, that's it's easy.
Back to the communion.
Yeah. You can't leave. Don't never leave communion out. your relationship with God, your one-on-one time with Him. And when, with the anointing, you're going to be surprised at what happens. Last part, when the most failure comes when people don't believe what God is saying. Amen. If God tells you to do something, you have to believe in it or you will not follow through with it. Mm. If you can believe it then and act on it, it's going to work. And most time it won't look like it for a season. But it began working from the time you acted on it. And all you have to do as you act on it, don't act it out. Keep going forward. Continuing is, that's a part of communion. You begin in communion and you finish in communion. Okay, and this represents what we're talking about. Verse 24 in 1 Corinthians 11. Lord, we're taking you at your word. We're eating your word. We're taking you seriously. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Always remember the things God said in the first place. It's going to work. He's going to be right there with you. You're never alone unless you walk away from it. If you don't, he's right there with you. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for your instructions, your word, your deliverance, and all the wonderful things you have in store for us. Help us to do, by all means, all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yeah. Jesus.